A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 296. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we're back to look at this rather intricate show within a show spoof from Channel 4, 6 25-minute episodes from 2004. And it's a very tongue-in-cheek look back at an infamous lost cult TV show from the 1980s. That is the concept of the show within the show. It's all done with a certain amount of spoof and tongue-in-cheek, Brian.
Absolutely. It's very much a satirical kind of show, with the fictional actors in 2004 talking about their show that they did back in the 1980s. And it has some well-known comedy people having some fun with, you know, doing this pseudo 1980s TV show and references to literary horror and things related to old medical shows and cop shows and so on.
Yes, a great deal of fun being had by all.
So only 6 of the planned 63 episodes were made of this show within a show, Dark Place, because MI8 knew the truth, apparently.
According to Garth Marenghi, who points out that MI8 is 3 levels above MI6.
Yes, indeed. Yes, no idea what MI8 is.
No.
This show within a show is set within the Dark Place Hospital, which sits, much like Buffy Summers' hometown, over a portal to hell, and all sorts of supernatural threats, including mist and rather odd apes of wrath, will happen there at Dark Place Hospital.
Yes, hats off for the title of the episode, Apes of Wrath. I know that joke's been made perhaps earlier and elsewhere, but it was great to have it here, where members of the hospital are de-evolving into some sort of ape-like monkey creatures.
With Planet of the Apes references and what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that they were talking, Todd Rivers, the serious actor of the show, is talking about the special effects for that episode and how he was worried that when they went and looked back at it, that they wouldn't look great, but he thought they really stood up. And they're terrible, aren't they, Brian?
Oh, yes. It's all deliberately terrible visuals. And they're squeezing it all into a medical show format with oddly misplaced bits of cop show and detective show things in it, which is, you know, quite ridiculous and rather fun.
Absolutely. A great deal of fun to be had. And at the centre of it all is Garth Marenghi himself, clearly styled on all those gruesome shock horror writers from the 1980s and I suppose the late 1970s as well. And then the show is squeezed into a medical format, as we said last time, with these cop show elements, the fact that all the doctors appear to be carrying pistols under their white coats. And of course, you know, Garth Marenghi and the likes produced novels with certain lurid titles and very glossy standout covers that jumped out of airport book racks and on the bestseller shelves of all the bookstores back in the 80s. Things like Crabs, Night of the Crabs and the Rats. And of course, you know, Marenghi has his own variants on these themes.
Yes, The Slicer and War of the Wasps and Ooze. So, yeah, definitely taking a little dig at horror authors from the era.
Yes, and I think I may have mentioned this before, but Jim Moon on the excellent Hypnagoria podcast did an episode about a recent publication, a book called Paperbacks from Hell, which looked at this sort of horror trend from the 70s and 80s and the garish titles and covers. And we've even recently been discussing it on my very own Mega City Book Club podcast, plug, plug. So, but yeah, Garth Marenghi fits in to that sort of Sean Hudson, Richard Layman sort of genre of these really gruesome books with gruesome titles and covers.
Yeah, that's clearly what they were going for.
And if you haven't seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, but you're thinking to yourself, hang on, this sounds a bit familiar, a paranormal show set in a hospital with a best-selling horror novelist behind it. Well, by some sort of bizarre coincidence, and I'm sure it must just be coincidence, but later in 2004, July, you may remember that Stephen King himself and Lars von Trier, the film director, the infamous director, I should say, sort of collaborated on a show called Kingdom Hospital. And yeah, there it was, a hospital show, which again had some sort of something mysterious in the basement producing various supernatural effects. You know, I suppose great horror minds maybe think alike, Brian.
Yeah, how bizarre that a serious show uses similar ideas like that at basically the same time.
Yeah, well, there you go. One of those lovely connections that I like to do to dig up when we're making these show notes, Brian.
Yes. So we do have really, quite intense satire here with the comedians playing actors playing characters and the actors that sort of talking about their lost show from the 80s. So they're sort of satirizing DVD extra features and that sort of thing. And they really stick to their joke. They stick to their concept and they stick to character throughout the websites, the DVD extras, program notes, booklets. They're really going with that.
Yes, they go for it and they stick with it. And as I said in the last episode, hats off to them. And they even continued the format because there was another show, which actually I hadn't heard of at all. But in 2006, there was another Channel 4 show called Man to Man with Dean Lerner. Richard Ayoade again playing the publisher and producer Dean Lerner in a chat show format, interviewing six guests over six episodes. It probably won't surprise you to hear that all the guests were played by Matthew Holness, the sort of creator of the Garth Marenghi character. And of course, I guess, you know, you can probably imagine who the first guest was, Brian.
It was Garth Marenghi himself, of course. So, in a way, this series actually has a spin-off.
How bizarre. You know, a spin-off from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, the fabled lost cult horror show of the 80s.
Yeah, it gets into wheels within wheels here, doesn't it?
As I said last time in the introduction, it is quite meta, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, and this sort of mini-universe that they've created for the show. And I perhaps, you know, I should point out that we've... Richard Ayoade was involved in another satire show, which we perhaps covered... it was unfortunate in a way that we covered it because we didn't really find it terribly successful. And that was Time Trumpet back in our episodes 226 and 227. You may remember Time Trumpet was also playing with time, with the idea that this was a show from the future, looking back at developments in British society and British politics and so on in the time between our current time and the future of the show. Dark Place does something different because it's looking back to the 1980s, and perhaps because its targets are even more ludicrous than, say, British politicians and celebrities. Maybe it's more successful as a show. We'll find out in a minute what we thought about it, Brian.
Yeah, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place was much more about fictional things. It was targeting TV shows and how their creators and fans talk about TV shows. It was not targeting news and politics, which Time Trumpet was, which gives a very different tone.
Okay, so I guess, as we've hinted, it's time to get into our own feelings about Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, if you'll pardon the expression, Brian. So we'll begin, as ever, with the positives. What did you like about this show?
Well, it's interesting. I think some of the humor, some of the sort of satire in it does work really well. When we get things like the doctors pulling out guns and chasing monsters, or suddenly being on like a police investigation kind of thing, it's so ridiculous, and when done well is unexpected as well. So those kinds of things, I think, worked really well. When it was at its most outrageous, it worked best, I think.
Yes. I mean, you know, we have to applaud the production for producing this amazingly sort of dated, satirical look at a 1980s show that never existed, and making the 1980s show within the show look so terrible, deliberately so. And as you say, you know, the ridiculous laughing sequences of the actors at the end of each episode, the fact that they whip out guns, the fact that the editing, the continuity, the dialogue, the lip syncing is all stodgy. The awful miniature that they use for Dark Place Hospital itself at the start of each episode. They really, I think, put a lot of effort into making it look terrible, deliberately so. And I think that works superbly well.
Yes, they did things like the slow motion sequences, which were very much, you know, satirizing the slow motion in American action shows of the 1980s. And they took those quite over the top. And that, I thought, was funny, that that worked.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, obviously, actors playing characters. How did you think the cast performed in this meta show within a show concept?
I thought it was all right. Some of the bad acting and the sort of 1980s stereotypes they were trying to do, some of them got old. In terms of performance and in what they were trying to do with those characters within the Dark Place show itself, I would say it was all right.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed them all. I thought Matt Berry was having great fun. Alice Lowe is great. And Richard Iodi, who's, you know, he brings this sort of satire and surrealism into everything he does, even in his sort of real world persona, presenting other television shows like the revived Crystal Maze, The Gadget Show, his travel show, his books he writes about film. You know, you always get the impression that he's playing a character. You may remember, some of you will have seen a famous interview he did on Channel 4's news show with Kristin Gurumurthy, where, you know, it does become obvious that he is, to a certain extent, playing a character in real life all the time. So this, you know, added to it. And I guess perhaps he's the only one who's slightly broken the concept, because he does point out somewhere, I read, that he felt Dean Lerner's acting. He said, "That's how I act. That's my own terrible acting."
Very nice.
So, you know, the production work has gone to extreme lengths to make it look like a 1980s show and to play up the joke of that. We've got the actors doing, you know, weird performances within performances, and they're wonderful, you know, to camera talking heads interviews where they each have their own discrete persona that they play. I suppose we've got to talk about the limitations of this show, Brian, because, you know, it does have, I suppose, one central problem, a bit like when we discussed Hyperspace, that slightly, or perhaps more than slightly, flawed attempt at a science fiction comedy show. I guess we're going to talk about the central joke, Brian.
Yeah, so the joke is that it's this terrible 1980s show that is a sort of mashed up version of several genres in it, which is amusing, but I thought it got old. If they had done something like a 1 hour or 90 minute movie with a sort of best of the different episodes in it, that would have interested me more. I think doing 6 separate episodes of the Dark Place show within a show, I think that was a little much.
Okay. I mean, I think that is the one of the problems of the show, is that if you don't particularly like the joke that they're playing, then you'll, you know, as you say, it will soon get old for you. It's always difficult with comedy shows. You know, we always hold them up to the extremely high example of Red Dwarf, or peak Red Dwarf, which I guess nearly everybody loves peak Red Dwarf.
Or to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's the other one. And there you have Douglas Adams, and you have something very unique and good there as well.
Yes. I mean, those, as you say, the two pinnacles. And here we have something which you're either going to really enjoy if you like the people involved and like the way they play their comedy, or you're just going to think it's just one joke repeated endlessly. And, you know, I don't want to see a terrible 1980s horror medical cop show. With, you know, bad hair and bad lip syncing and so on.
Yeah, and, you know, I have to say I'm disappointed that the talking head sequences did not have Alice Lowe in them, because that would have, I think, added something a little more interesting, and it would have allowed them to say something about the 1980s sexism they were portraying instead of just showing it. It would have been nice to have, you know, just one or two comments from her on that. They could have made that work really well. So I thought the talking head sections were a little bit too dry because she wasn't there.
Yes. Maybe she, Madeline Wall, instead of disappearing mysteriously, should have gone on to be the most successful one, the breakout talent from this show. And maybe that would have been more interesting. But there you go. Anything else about it that you had, you know, particular difficulties or problems in the negatives column, Brian?
Well, as we said, a lot of the sort of making it look 1980s was done very well. And they did a nice job at sort of doing a parody of TV makers and references to fandom and so on. But for me, it just wasn't funny enough and just didn't hold my interest well enough.
Okay. They're all fair points. I think we're drifting towards our recommendations, and our listeners might be able to tell which way we're going to go on this one. But do you want to get into saying what we our recommendations on this particular DVD set?
Okay, so this is a tricky one. We've definitely talked about comedy shows that are worse than this one, no question. So I would say if this type of concept of the satire with these people involved looking at 1980s horror, if that is really your kind of thing, then go for it. You'll probably enjoy it. If you're so-so on that, then this one's probably not for you. I found it was only okay, and there are other bits of comedy out there that I would go for before this one.
Okay, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place is a 50-50 show. Some of you will love it and some of you will not see the joke or not get the feel that the joke lasts more than one or two repetitions. Personally, I had a great time watching it. I like the people involved. I think they're all hilarious. So I enjoyed Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. I haven't got round to watching all of the fabulous extras on the DVD set because there are so many. But yeah, from me, it's a thumbs up. But as Brian says, it is a sort of Marmite one. You know, you'll either love it or loathe it.
Okay, very good. In summary, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place introduced us to a group of fictional actors and writers, including Garth Marenghi himself and Dean Lerner, and they were looking back at a show called Dark Place, which they had created, put together, and acted in the 1980s, bringing us this hospital horror drama with lots of police and detective type elements in it, and presenting us this deliberate moderately horrible 1980s show and the affectionate looking back at it by the people who were involved.
There you go. A spoof of a show within a show from Channel 4 in 2004. Do, as ever, jump in on the Facebook group and let us know what you think.
Absolutely. I would love to hear comments about what people think of it, what people thought of it from the time, and what people think of it looking at it more recently.
And of course, come back next time when we're looking at an interesting combination: dragons, a certain degree of British quaintness, and a plucky teenage heroine in what I'm sure Sky TV were banking on as a surefire hit, The Last Dragon Slayer from 2016 Christmas time.
If you want dragons and shopping malls and electricity upgrades, this is the show to go to.
We'll explain more next time.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our past episodes there. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group and join in on the discussion.
Absolutely. Or join us on the Voice of Geeks Network. And hello if you're listening to British Invaders there on a Monday or Tuesday when we go out on the internet streaming radio service. All to be found at the home of the Voice of Geeks, VogNetwork.com. Join us there.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England saying watch out for giant wasps.